We are talking about students voting. We're talking about young people voting. What's motivating them to vote or not?
Can't complain if we don't do anything about it. So vote, please vote.
No pressure. We do expect you to help save our democracy.
Yeah, save the democracy.
Other
save
than
the world.
That, have a great day.
And the climate and the
and
world
just a couple
and
other
everything else.
A little few things.
Don't move.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madner. Happy Election Day. I hope that if you have not already voted absentee or early, you have already voted today or have plans to do so, because today is the spring primary. And so we will be talking more about that this hour as far as what races that we are paying close attention to, including our coverage tonight that Jane and I will be back at from 7 to 8 for the pregame for the election. And then from there, Civic Media has Terry Bell,
yes.
Todd Albo, and correspondents all over the state talking about the election results. And so we hope that you join us. But for now, we have some guests who are in the studio that I am very excited to talk to. And so this feels like a recurring theme of topics on this show as far as talking about the labor shortage and crisis of people power in so many different industries. And one that you may not have heard of is EMS agencies and fire departments, especially those that rely on volunteer paramedics and firefighters, are really struggling, and some are even facing extinction. And so here to talk about the extent of the problem and potential solutions to the problem are Alan DeYoung, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin EMS Association, and James Small, who is the outreach manager for Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
So let's just kind of start with the extent of the problem, because I heard about this. Someone who is a fan of As Goes Wisconsin, I had asked for, you know, just what are topics that you're hearing that you would like to hear on the show? And someone sent me a bunch of information on this, and I honestly hadn't heard of this before, that this was, it's not surprising, but I had not seen some of the numbers that are pretty staggering. So as far as the extent of the problem right now, I'll ask either of you to kind of try to describe it for the audience.
Sure. So basically, this is not something new necessarily, but definitely with the pandemic, we've seen it exacerbated. And that is the shortage of basically first responders all the way up to critical care paramedics. With the work demands that EMS has, both on a mental health and a physical health kind of merit, many have kind of left EMS altogether, whether that's also retiring out of it, or just deciding I can't do this anymore financially, because we rely on, our state relies on, basically 79% of our departments rely on volunteers to staff their ambulance. So it's a huge number that is volunteers that are staffing 911 calls.
And I guess, I mean, I've always known that there was volunteer firefighters. Like I've known that that's a thing. I had no idea the extent of that were actually volunteers across the state. Like, that is a staggering number. And I guess historically, why is that? I guess it kind of surprises me that people have always been willing to volunteer and play that role beyond, has that always just been like a sense of duty or a sense of service that's, it's not been a problem up until the last two decades?
Well, it's really how EMS started.
Pull your mic up a little bit.
It's really how EMS started in the country, is back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, there started to be a recognition for a need for EMS to come in and take people to the hospital and so on. And you saw even in some police departments where they used station wagons to put somebody in the back of a station wagon and drive them to the hospital, but they didn't receive any medical care. So along the way, in the 60s and 70s, the federal government produced grants that allowed communities to buy ambulances. And they had people that were trained in first aid who volunteered to help staff those ambulances. But back in the 60s and 70s, they might have done 20 calls in a year in one of these communities, where now those communities are doing hundreds of calls because the use of EMS has changed too, and people are recognizing it as healthcare being provided in an emergency, and they can call 911 and very easily access that system. The difference is, though, it's that we never, as everything else evolved around it, we never found a funding source for that, and we've never built a sustainable pathway to staff these services for the most part. There is full-time staff departments in Wisconsin. They have some other workforce type issues like I think most every workforce has right now. But when you get into the nuts and bolts of what are making most of our services go around, it's somebody that's working for very little compensation and they're personally subsidizing the cost of that to that community.
And that was one of the things that I read as far as it's in these communities where it's predominantly volunteers, they're also on the hook for their gas and some of their equipment. And it's not stuff that there's not even enough money to provide them with the resources that they need to volunteer to do the job. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah. So what I've seen and heard firsthand, some departments are paying, you know, a dollar stipend per hour or a paid on premise of $4, you know, kind of thing. It doesn't cost anywhere near the gas that they put in their vehicle. And people don't realize that many of these first responder groups that we have, over 300 in the state, use their personal vehicles to respond to a call, and then the transport department will come in with the ambulance. So people don't realize there are different types of departments out there that they are relying on to get there in a reasonable response time.
And so for the communities that are the most affected, like what is kind of the threshold? Because obviously there's Milwaukee and Madison and our biggest, like our top 10 biggest cities, I'm assuming are the ones that still have paid. I mean, and they, like you said, they have their own budgetary municipal issues right now that are potentially going to get funded. But for what's kind of the size threshold of the communities that really their entire EMS system or firefighters are volunteers that are really feeling this pinch?
I think that it actually can go the whole gamut. As these systems have evolved and each individual municipality kind of does things their own way. I mean, that's the Wisconsin way of doing things. Everything's controlled at the local level. So it's right now with the study that we're doing of the ambulance infrastructure of the state, we're seeing that this issue exists in all 7 regions of the state. It impacts volunteer services, it impacts full-time career services, the combination departments that have some of both. It doesn't really matter. It's almost on a, some communities have done better with it. Some communities have done referendums and put substantial amounts of money into their fire and EMS services, hired full-time career staff and so on to address the issue. But then there's the ones that haven't gotten to that point yet, or they may have done a referendum that didn't pass, and they're in this spot where there's really not a lot of tools for the local municipal leaders to work from to solve that issue. On the flip side of that, you have these EMS responders who are incredibly dedicated.
Yeah.
So they're just not willing to allow the system to fail, and they will stay in place if they've got to cover 4,000 hours a year of call time each to make the wheels turn. They're doing that. So we're even seeing services where they're covering all their calls. They might have 4 people covering all those calls 24/7, 365. That's 17,520 hours a year of time to cover that ambulance with 2 licensed providers. So it's even in those communities, they're getting the calls taken care of. That's not sustainable. They're a sprained ankle away from being out of service.
Our guests are Alan DeYoung and James Small, and we're talking about the EMS crisis that's going on in Wisconsin.
And so as far as, like, how much do our lawmakers know this is happening? I mean, I guess it's wild. I can't stop thinking about the fact that, what you said is that this was originally always volunteer because it was a smaller scale. And then with the, you know, as every kid knows, you call 911 when there's an emergency, and that there was never a plan as the dependency for the public on that emergency line to think maybe we should fund the people who respond to that emergency line. And so statewide, locally, like nationally even, like do our lawmakers aware that this is a problem that needs to get fixed?
Yeah, I see that in Madison right now, that this is a very high priority issue for legislators, regardless of which party that they're involved with. whether you're talking to the Democrats, the Republicans, or anything in between, this is a very high priority issue. Our office is getting lots of inquiries from legislators. In the near future, there's going to be hearings on the issue coming at the Capitol. And I think this is going to get front and center priority in the upcoming budget.
And so after this, the next break, we're going to talk more about like what are some of the solutions. But one thing that I also read that I hadn't even thought about is part of this being the problem of going back to Medicare and Medicaid reimbursements, because I think any of us who know, ambulances are not cheap. And so the amount of people who, I mean, there's that crazy video. Have you guys seen the video that went viral after the Bucks won the NBA championship of the guy who was hurt and he was on a stretcher and they were going to put him in an ambulance and then he just got off? Have you not seen this video? And all I could think, granted, he was probably intoxicated, but it's for anyone who's like, I'm not getting an ambulance because I'm not going to pay that bill. And so that being in the back of people's heads, even when they have emergencies. And so that is also part of the problem, though, on the flip side, as far as I understand it, because if they don't reimburse, then who pays that cost that is also draining some of the EMS services, correct?
Correct. Yeah. And you know, majority for many departments, majority is the Medicare, Medicaid mix of reimbursers. And that right now, compared to the actual cost, you might get lucky if it's a third of the cost being reimbursed. You know, you're saying if it's a $1,500 ambulance bill, $500 gets reimbursed, let's say by Medicare, the rest they basically have to eat. I mean, they can try billing it out, they can try getting it. But as we know, Medicare, Medicaid, fixed incomes most of the time, and so a lot of these communities, they're writing off millions of unreimbursed expenses for just providing the service.
Wow. All right. Well, we're going to keep talking about potential solutions when we come back from the break. Our guests this half hour are Alan DeYoung, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin EMS Association, and James Small, who is from the Wisconsin Office of Rural EMS Outreach, and he's the outreach manager there. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen. I'm checking my vital signs, my battle lines going to war again. Rhythm inside of my chest, all I need is just a pen. I know I was born for this. I know.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matnair, and we are talking to Alan DeYoung, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin EMS Association, and James Small, who is the EMS outreach manager of the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. And I think we should make it explicitly clear, because I don't know if we made it clear in the last segment of talking about the looming crisis, or the crisis that is here when it comes to EMS agencies and fire departments. I don't know if I knew this. This is not an entitlement that our taxes pay for.
Correct. Yeah. So EMS in the state of Wisconsin is considered non-essential. And actually, it's probably one of about 38 states that it's considered non-essential, meaning it does not have to be funded. It is not mandated to have. Really, the only thing keeping people responding is, you know, their resiliency and wanting to do the job and their duty to act kind of piece. But from a statewide perspective, you call 911 does not mean someone is guaranteed to show up.
And does that get communicated? Like in some of the areas where in the rural areas where this is, there's just not enough people. Do they get a call back and be like, you have to find your own way to a hospital?
Many times not. They try to, you know, they try to go down the list of paging this department. Well, we don't hear back from that one. Page the next one. And mind you, they're paging all volunteer departments. You can't mandate a volunteer have to show up. Even if they're, you know, with that department, it's volunteer, you know. And so they'll keep going down the list and trying to find somebody. But there have been cases in Wisconsin that calls have been, in a sense, dropped, meaning an ambulance didn't show up.
And I, Jane, did you know that?
You guys are blowing my mind. I can't imagine that this is not considered essential services. That's just kooky.
Okay, so with the handful of minutes we have left, while we still have you both here, what are some of the solutions that are realistic and available, both short-term and long-term, from your guys' professional experience?
Well, the issue really comes down to money and people. So we're going to need to solve the money issue because we need to find a sustainable funding source, because we know Medicare, Medicaid, billing for services is not fulfilling the funding gap that exists there. So we need to find some kind of that sustainable funding source for the long term to address this, because it's never been funded. And I think that's a really key point in this, is the never funded idea in this. So get that funding source in place, and then we need to deal with the workforce and how are we bringing people in, how are we training them, how are we getting them the experience they need to go out into the field, and then retain them in the field so that they continue working and so on. You know, one of the things we've seen in the pandemic is lots of workforce have left the field and are working for hospitals. Hospitals are short of nurses.
Yeah.
So what's the next best thing? A paramedic. And they can pay them an enhanced rate, which is still cheaper than a nurse, and you're seeing paramedics not working in the field now that are now working in hospitals. Still an important role because we need people working in hospitals, but that exasperates the issue at the street level for the 911 providers. But when you talk about having 911 calls happen and no one responding to them, in our study that we're doing, we've identified 10 communities where that happened within the last year in Wisconsin. So in 2022, in Wisconsin, 10 different communities had 911 calls happen for an ambulance request, and an ambulance could not be provided to that because there was not staffing available and through the mutual aid and so on. We've had 4 out of 5 of our department are reporting that they're doing mutual aid calls for their neighboring communities because that community didn't have a staffed ambulance available for a call. So now you have community A that's not staffed. Community B is then taking the call in community A. And you very well could have community C having to take a call in community B because their resources, which they have in place, are now being stretched to help community A. So this is a domino effect, too, when the calls start happening. Or it could be that community B is not able to handle that call, too, and it goes to community C, and it takes an hour or longer for somebody to get to that emergency. And in some cases, that's not going to cause harm to the person. You know, 72 hours from then, the outcome is the same. In other instances, that's the life or death situation in a time-sensitive event. So, you know, these are issues that we need to look at from a societal standpoint, and what is the solution to that? And sitting here today, I don't know exactly what that needs to look like. But I know it starts with a sustainable funding source, and it starts with being creative of how we bring that workforce in and how do we get people interested in this as a career, because it's something that's fun and it's very worth doing. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the opportunity to go out as an EMS provider every single day to deal with somebody and help them on the worst day of their life and make an absolute substantial impact in that person's life. And I think that's the same thing that people find in all public safety, whether it's law enforcement, firefighting, EMS, is we're dealing with people on their worst days. They don't know what to do. That's why they call 911 for us to solve that for them and go in and make that impact. But, you know, in 41% of our services last year in Wisconsin had gaps in their schedule where they didn't have an ambulance available.
Wow.
41%. 49% reported having to give calls to mutual aid because they couldn't put a crew together for their primary first out ambulance. You know, these are substantial numbers. This is a large area of the state that's affected by this. And I think the conventional wisdom coming into when we did the study was that, oh, this is an up north issue in the far rural areas of the up north. And that's not what we found at all. This is an issue that exists in all 7 regions of the state. This is, whether it's urban, rural, suburban, these issues are existing everywhere. And it really lends itself to that we need to look first and foremost at a state level solution for the funding source and then go through and figure out how we're going to deal with workforce.
Well, man, this is sobering. But for anyone who is listening, who is interested in potentially volunteering, where could they get more information on where they could get training or how they could get involved to try to be part of the solution?
Sure. They can actually look at any of their local tech schools. That's where all of our programs are run, as well as their local departments. You know, some departments will sponsor students and pay for their education going through. So there's definitely many options out there.
All right. Well, we have to let you go, gentlemen. But James Small, Alan DeYoung, thank you so much for joining us and educating us on this topic that is very important and did not know about. We will link more information to today's show notes. But thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk more about today's election.
Why are there so many songs about voting?
Gotta get you into that booth, into that booth.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Medner. And we haven't heard that song in a while.
It feels like longer than it actually has been.
Have we played it in this cycle?
No.
Or has it been since
the election?
Since the last election.
Yeah.
And we're going to save this topic for a different day. But I saw an interesting tweet thread today about how often Wisconsin asks us to vote. And whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for democracy.
We do it a lot.
Seems like we do it, it's basically four times a year. But when you add the primaries to the generals for the nonpartisan in the spring and partisan in the fall, it's a lot of voting. But that is a topic for a different day to critique how we do it. Today we are just promoting voting. And so today is the primary for the spring election. Everyone has something on their ballot.
Yes.
Which is the one statewide election, which is the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which if you listen to this show, or basically any show on this network, you know. But the important part is for you to tell your friends, because we're thinking that you already know because you listen to this show.
Right.
But let us know if you've already voted. We would love to hear from you. Text us 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. Let us know what number you were at your ward.
I'm curious.
And how turnout's looking, because as we've said before, sometimes turnout, actually not even sometimes, often turnout for Wisconsin in the spring elections, not super high. But, you know, I think there is something different this time around in the national attention our Supreme Court race is getting already, right? This isn't even the month sprint that we're about to enter.
Yes.
Starting tomorrow to April 4th, which will be the general where who actually gets elected will be decided. But the amount of national attention this race is already getting and will continue to get, how much money will be spent, how much outside money will be spent. So it'll be interesting to see the correlation between those two things and if we actually see a higher turnout than we've seen in the last 22 years, which, for a reminder, the highest turnout for a spring election general in the last 22 years is 34%.
Gosh, that's just so depressing. It really is. But I have to think and I have to hope that young people who were very fired up in November and turned out in a big way, and especially I would hope that young women in Wisconsin are very aware of what's at stake and they will go vote today.
Well, you'd hope, but it also is the onus of getting that information out, which, again, that goes back to the critique of how many elections and how often you have to be paying attention and everything. But I agree. There's a lot at stake. A lot of people are covering it. And not even just like if you're someone who doesn't necessarily pay close attention to local news, even though you should. The fact that national news is covering this too. And not only that, I've seen it on, you know, some of the more, youth-oriented accounts that I follow. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. And as far as, I would say any of the young, like young, quippy, feminist accounts that I follow that it like speaks in like meme speak, where most of their social media is memes or, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
They've even mentioned it. And so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see the effect on that for turnout today and certainly for April. But you should come back later tonight. So obviously you should stay for the rest of our show today. But we have a special lineup for tonight across the Civic Media Network. The Devil's Advocates is going to go until 7 p.m. instead of 6. So you can listen to an extra hour of Dom and Crute. And then we, Jay and Kay,
yes,
are coming back 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We are priming the pump for the election results because polls don't close till 8. So we will have no results to report on, but we will set up the races that we're following for the night. We're going to talk to Dan Schaefer about some of his reporting on the different races that are happening tonight. We're going to hear a recorded interview with Reed Epstein from New York Times.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think that'll be super interesting. And then we'll check in at the end of the hour with all of our correspondents across the state who are going to give us updates as results roll in. And so just kind of, I was looking at the rundown of what races we're even going to be following because, again, there's not a good way, at least, and if you've found one, but as far as, it's very easy to look up what's on your ballot on myvote.wi.gov. You can go, it's one of the major five buckets on the homepage. Click it, you put your address in, tells you everything on your ballot. What I find harder is to see a general easy location to see who has a primary and what races do have primaries this time around to be able to be someone who is in the media and is trying to encourage people to vote of which mayor races have a primary and which ones just have a general because there's only two candidates. Same thing for common council, same thing for different county boards and county executives. So we probably will not be able to cover everything that has a primary tonight, but some of the bigger ones that I know we are keeping eyes on is obviously, most obviously, the one that everyone's watching. Well, not everyone, maybe.
Most people should be,
but I'm saying the people who don't even know that there's an election today, probably not watching it.
Good point.
But is the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But the other one is one that most of us can't necessarily vote in, but it's going to be super interesting and does affect all of us, which is the primary race for the state's 8th Senate district, which it's the only special election in that it's a race that normally would be in the fall. But because Alberta Darling stepped down in December, this is now an open seat. So the election is lining up with the nonpartisan races, but this is a partisan race. And so the Democrat in that race does not have a primary. So she immediately advances to the general, where there are three Republicans running, Janelle Branchon, Dan Knodel, and Van Mobley, who Van Mobley sent me a DM with his, like, get out the vote for Van Mobley, and I wished him luck.
Well, that's nice.
And he wrote back, thank you.
Awesome.
So I'm not voting in that race because I don't live in the northern suburbs of Milwaukee.
You kind of need to live there.
But that is certainly, that one's interesting just because of the drama of politics, because Janelle Branchon is someone who has been endorsed by Trump for this race. She is someone who is now on Robin Voss's naughty list.
You mean my favorite Chuckle Meister, Robin?
Yes, your Chuckle Meister, Robin. There's another merch idea. Chuckle Meister, Robin.
Oh, and then so much potential.
His face, his like The face he always has when he's sitting behind Governor Evers in any state address of just that, like, you can just tell he's like, if he could be doing the squishy head thing with his finger, with his forefinger and his thumb, he would be doing it, but that's what his face says that he wants to be doing.
But he would be laughing the entire time, yeah. Which is why he's such a chucklemeister.
Chucklemeister. But Janelle Branchon, not really in favor of her party. Very conservative, election denier.
Yes.
And someone that the Democrats think would be easier to beat, which is interesting. And then Dan Knodel and Van Mobley, who I think are both more moderate than Janelle. And so it'll be interesting to see what that says about the primary base voter, the base voters in that district, mm-hmm. and who turns out today for that race. So we will certainly be following that. Then some of the bigger cities that have mayoral primaries, Madison. So Satya Rhodes Conway, who is the incumbent, obviously running again, but there's also three challengers, Daniel Howell, Scott Kerr, and Gloria Reyes. So we'll be following that because obviously our Civic Media headquarters is in Madison. And then Racine also has three candidates, the incumbent, Corey Mason, Jim DeMatthew, and Henry Perez. So we'll check in on that. Green Bay, Eric Genrich, incumbent, who I think he's the favorite, but I've heard that it's could be competitive, especially going into the general. But there's also three more candidates on top of Eric, Paul Butcher, Jane Juza, and Chad Weininger. And so we'll be following all of those mayoral races. Then also following the Outagamie County executive race. And then for the Common Council in Milwaukee, there's three different districts that have multiple people running. So in District 1, there's five candidates.
Wow.
In District 5, there's seven candidates. In District 9, there's eight candidates. So there is, I think that's the thing. There's sometimes with the Common Council, and this is probably, it's always true of incumbents that you have a leg up because people recognize your name. They've voted for you before. So when there's open seats, it's very often that those are crowded races. And so we will be following the three districts in Milwaukee to see how those turn out for which two of those very crowded races move on. Am I missing anything, Jane?
I think that those are the major ones. And I do want to say, I find it somewhat encouraging that there are that many people who are going out for these races.
I was thinking the same thing this morning.
I think that's a good sign, because when we think of how toxic politics has become, like, why would I want that job? Are you kidding me? So to still see this amount of interest and people being willing to live through it and go through it, I think that's great.
I was literally thinking that this morning as far as trying to find those names and make sure that I was aware of, like, all right, which races are we covering? Who are the people? Blah, blah, blah. And thinking the exact same thing as far as, you know, we need good people to run across the board.
Yes.
Right? Whether it's
both sides, all sides.
Both sides, all sides, local, state. Like, we would always hope that the best among us wants to do this job. And unfortunately, because of the toxicity, there's a lot of us who are like, yeah, no thanks.
Well, there are really decent people who don't want to expose their families and their friends to some of the rhetoric that can lead to threats and things like that.
And also just the headache of trying to get stuff done.
Seriously, and raising money and all of that.
I always think it's interesting the argument of businessmen who want to get in government. Like, I'm a businessman. It's like, yeah, but as a businessman, and the executive of your company or the owner, CEO, whatever, like, the buck stops with you and you can just make a decision and, like, it's a unilateral, this is what we're doing.
Exactly.
Which is not how government works.
No.
And I always am surprised with guys who use that as a talking point. And I get it. They're like, oh, efficiencies and budgets and blah, blah, blah. But in reality, it's also like, Do you have the patience to do what it takes to negotiate and compromise? Because you can't just push something through at any of these levels. Like, it actually takes, governing requires you actually working with other people and not just making a decision.
Yeah, it's called consensus building.
Yes.
And right, you can't just issue things by fiat and make it so, you know, number one, because that's not how it works in government.
Yes. Well, we'll end on this note, because then when we come back, we haven't even talked about the big civic media news.
It's big.
It is big. And it was dropped on Friday, and we had such a full show yesterday, we didn't actually talk about it. So we're going to talk about that when we come back as far as our ever-expanding network. But I will end on this nice comment that we got on the YouTube live stream from Josh Egan. Our kid turned 18 in January, so he's excited to vote today. We made him do his own research and then talked to him about the ballot. He's going after school.
Well done, Mom and Dad. That is fantastic.
Applause all around
that
for that.
So great.
We love hearing stories like that, especially to have your first election not be a presidential election. It's such a good foot to get off on as far as... Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And I gotta say, Jane, looking outside right now, the sun is shining. It's 25 degrees, so really not that cold.
That's not terrible.
And yet tomorrow we're supposed to get another snowstorm?
Yeah. We got weather coming our way. And it really is going to depend upon where you are and apparently how this storm tracks as to how much snow you could be getting. But I saw something earlier that Minneapolis and St. Paul, Twin Cities, could get 10.5 inches of snow.
Woo!
Yeah. I don't, at least here in our corner of southeastern Wisconsin, I think we have to worry more about ice and freezing drizzle and things like that. And then as you get further north and probably further north and west, you guys got some snow coming.
Because last week, I don't know if we didn't really end up getting like 10 inches of snow last week on Thursday.
About six.
But it was you. I mean, because you drove, I didn't. It was really the visibility down here that was so terrible
was
as
awful.
Far as driving conditions. And so we will try to get more information from a meteorologist as far as what we should be expecting for tomorrow. But it's hard to believe that that's coming because it looks so nice out right now. But I will say the voting gods, if you do pray to them.
You light a candle, whatever you
do. Yeah, whatever you do.
You know.
Because that can impact voter turnout, right?
Yes.
So as far as today being so nice and people being willing to go outside and go to the polling station, and if there happens to be a line, you know, it's fine to wait in it.
Yeah.
Versus if it was swapped and today looked like what tomorrow is going to probably look like, I think there's a lot of people who would probably be like, well, is it that important?
Someone else will do
it.
Someone else will vote. I don't have to do that.
And so at least we can be thankful for that.
You do not have the excuse for weather.
So you do not have the excuse for weather. And yeah, but so anyways, what we prepped before, big news. Big news for civic media.
Mm-hmm.
So on Friday evening, this was actually a surprise, I think, to us as well, but civic media's continuing to grow. And there has been a deal with Magnum Media, and we are now expanding to Racine and Kenosha on WRJN and La Crosse for WLXR, Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire. And that is very exciting.
We're going to be really busy hitting all these spots on our radio broadcast bucket list.
How are we going to prep for the show when each day we're going to be driving from each location?
That's called improvisation.
Because truly, and I don't think the coverage map on civicmedia.us is updated yet with the new stations, because the new station, we're not on yet, but we will be. But truly, I know when we tweeted this out on Friday, they put a picture of it, of what the coverage is going to look like. And coverage meaning between an FM station, an AM station, or some of our country music stations, which we have those as well.
Yes, we do.
How much of the state is covered by one of our signals? And basically, it's as of right now, with these new additions, it's everything except like the south, the very southwest. So like things west of Janesville and north of like Rhinelander and north of Rhinelander, like Eagle River and Minocqua. And then besides that, like basically everything else is covered.
Well, now we just have to take over B-Town, because that's on the Mississippi west of Janesville.
B-Town?
B-Town. Teeny town.
What is...
It's a town.
It's just called B-Town?
It's called B-Town.
What's in B-Town?
Not much. But maybe there's a radio station there.
Is it cute?
It's adorable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it B-E-E or just...
No, B-E-E.
B-E-E, like the bumblebee.
Yes. B-Town.
I'm so intrigued by B-Town. And now we got to go see it.
Another spot on our broadcast bucket list.
Exactly. But it's very exciting.
It is.
And so, and we're hiring. So you should always go to our website. Just go to civicmedia.us. You can check out the coverage area. You can check out all the different shows that we have. You can check out all the different stations and their logos. But you can also check out the careers that we're hiring for. And maybe you could come to work with us.
Seriously, if you like Civic Media's mission, if you like Civic Media's message, check us out. Definitely. There we have, as you said, we're hiring. We have many openings for many different things. I think you'd like it.
We like it.
We do.
Well, at least we like each other. Working with us would be super fun.
Oh, well, that's what everyone's clamoring for, Kristen.
I mean, that's the feedback I've always gotten is working with Kristen Bry is a joy and a delight. And people are always very sad whenever any job I've ever left, they're so sad that I've...
You need that on a pin.
A joy and delight to work with.
I am a joy and delight to work with. Yes.
Chucklemeister. All right. Well, speaking of the weather and the weather that up north is going to get, the Berkey is this week.
It is.
And we are going to be talking to a representative of the Berkey when we come back on the top of the next hour. Blair Flickinger, who's the marketing director for the Birkenbeiner Ski Foundation, is going to join us because I've never been to the Berkey.
I haven't either.
I have one of my good friends that I grew up with, his family has been doing it like his entire life.
No,
I think
kidding.
His dad has been doing it way before he even had kids.
Wow.
So this is like an institution for them. But I texted him this morning and I said, hey, we're talking about the Berkey today. And he wrote back jokingly that he was a little disappointed I didn't ask him to come on and talk about the Berkey. But the reminder that he's a little concerned about how much snow that's going to happen up in Hayward and how that's going to impact this week's events. So we'll have to talk to Blair what they are expecting and any modifications that happen when there's just 2 feet of snow on the ground.
Too much snow, as opposed to what's been a more typical problem the last couple of years, has been not enough.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to learn more about the Berkey, the history of it, what the events look like. Because this is this is a global event that people fly in for from all over the world. And many of us who are not cross-country skiers forget that it even happens. So that'll about do it for the noon hour for As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around for the 1 o'clock. No sour, haha, superpower, funny hour, or whatever. All right, be back.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.